Blog Talk Radio.
Together once again to celebrate on air with all of you out there. And I'll leave it over to Rob Lutheran to introduce the circle.
Okay. Let's just start. This will be a circle cast visualization. So to cast our circle, I'd like everyone to grab their magical broom. It can be one that's been mass-produced. Ooh. Yeah, one you've bought at a magic shop or a festival, or one you've made yourself and put your own energy into, which I'm sure you've done with whatever kind you have. Now, as we stand in the circle, facing one another, with your broom, begin to sweep all the cloudy grayness. Whether this be a job you're not happy in, a relationship that needs work, children, parents, family, and friends who are bogging you down, illnesses, whatever is keeping you from the clear, sweep this out of the circle. Now take your time. Sweep from in front of you, from the left of you, the right of you, both sides. Just sweep everything to the outside. For this hour, we'll work in the open, in the clear, with all the extra baggage behind us. The circle is cast, so mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So, in the east.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Are we calling the elements? Are we calling the station star?
Yeah, we're calling the elements. You're starting with air. Yeah, east.
Right. In the east, I would call on a violet light, enshrined in gold, and ask Raphael to come and be our standard, to call the cliff, to lend communication and clarity. Good thought, good moments, balance, especially in our thoughts and our speech. I call the elements of air to come and be beside us and open the elements for us. So motivated.
So motivated.
So motivated.
O fire, Promethean gift of thou dancing light, free thy molecule might, thy delight upon the altar of our souls, energy spinning, winning of delight, enlighten our world, enlighten our souls, the fires of the altar are lit, enlightening the world. So mote it be.
So mote it be. Powers of water, join us now. Wash away all of our care, our stress, and concern from our daily activities. Make us pure again, and bring us the intuition and the flowing ability to adapt to change that is ever needed in today's world. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
I call in the earth from the north. From the ants to the elephants, from the hyenas to humans, we all find nourishment upon you. Your mountains and valleys, your woods and prairies, all give us our stability. Your black soil, your sand, and your clay, let us stand solid, all upon you. We thank you. Welcome, Earth.
Welcome, Earth.
I call on the great Mother Goddess, the creator of sand and sea. Bless you for the abundance of creation and of life. We praise you for the softness of your human hand and for the all-encompassing circle of light, the light that protects us in your loving embrace. We call to you, we look to you, we seek you within. The wisdom of your guidance enlightens us. Through your love, we walk the path of light. Through your love, we embrace the darkness of night. Without fear, we walk your path. Come, great Mother Goddess, be with us tonight. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Heavenly Father, Lord of the sky and of the sun and of the hunt and of all things wild, join us now as we celebrate this solstice. Empower us with your strength that we may better serve your purpose on this earth. Fill us with your glory. Make us strong, make us proud, and make us brave to do the things that need to be done, even where they be difficult. Join us now as we worship this solstice. Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome. O great ancestors, clockwork of being, back and black, into and all through the ancient lineage, back and black, from our pre-planetary pre-incarnation, back before time, back before birth in 10,000 dancing souls who have each led us to this path. And as we pass the torch, the chants of dance, and we offer our lead to the children, from the great grandmother's garters and the great grandpa's galloping gambols, we say thank you to the ancestors, and thank you to the ancestors to come. So mote it be.
So mote it
be.
Lovely.
I do have a visionary. It's a meditation, if you will, as a vision that I would ask you to come along with me on. It's a prayer, an imprint of goodness, maybe. But I'm going to do it now. And I call the prayer the family picnic. Imagine.
Already.
Awesome.
I'm like, okay.
Awesome.
It's good. Imagine.
That's the hot dogs.
Imagine you are a child again at home with your parents. Remember being a little child. Find a childhood memory to bring you home again. Take a moment. Think about it. Something that takes you back into your childhood. Some moment in time you've never lost. You and your parents on this day are getting ready for a family outing. And your mom has cooked a picnic meal and put goodies onto the top of the basket. It's the first time since Yule you're all going out together for an adventure, and summer has come with the sunshine waking you every morning, shining through your window and tickling your face with summer warmth and telling you to get up and go outdoors and explore and find new adventures. It's summer. You're a child. Today, the family gathers. Everyone is getting into the car, the family car, the old family car, for a ride to meet the rest of the family at your favorite park gathering place outdoors. Uncles, aunts, cousins, and grandparents will all be there together to share the games, the nature, and eat a meal and play all day long. The green of the soft grass, the butterflies with brilliant colors, the little flowers that grow in the grasses and the bees that are flying all around them. The trees, like old friends, are there to keep your childhood friends, the rabbit, the squirrel, the spider, the birds and their songs or protests, all in their home in the green to share with you and your family all day long. In the stream, the fish swim close enough to touch to the surface. You arrive at the park as your aunt drives in with your grandmother, and already everyone else is there outdoors, playing, laughing, yelling at each other. Your cousins and friends are playing in the green, flying a kite, climbing the trees, smelling the bark and sap of the trees, the freshness of the grass. You're telling your cousins about all the adventures you've had and all you're planning for your summertime. You easily run like the wind, tumble like an acrobat, and yell to your cousins to come and play. You are happy and know you are safe and at home. The sun is bright, hot, yet encouraging. Your mother is making a table spread with cold meat, soft breads, crisp vegetables, brightly colored cupcakes, iced tea, cold water, Kool-Aid. They're there to pluck whenever you want them. Your father is trying to convince you to come play a game of stickball with him, with your cousins and uncles and aunts, and there's only the green of the park, the family, and you. It's your park, your family, your home. You see your grandmother setting up the long picnic table finally, and you come to the table and listen to everyone's news. And then finally the grandparents begin to tell their stories. Grandmother tells us who her father was and how he worked and where he lived and who his parents were and how her mother taught her to be better. Grandfather talks about how he met grandmother, and everybody laughs and remembers the stories. They remember the stories. And then the sun dips in the sky as the meal disappears. And grandmother says to remember it's midsummer and the old ones are changing positions. The sun will slowly recede each day. Its warmth and light as the harvest approaches will leave. But today we have sun and fun and family to share it with and to make memories with, to remember and remember and remember. It is midsummer, and our minds, our hearts should be focused on the days in the sun, building our dreams and our moments in the green grass. Keep this meditation, this vision, in your heart till Mavon, till equinox comes to hasten the decadent season. Remember the greenness of summer and all the families. All the families of the Earth Mother. Bless them, hope for them, keep them green in your hearts. And that's our picnic meditation.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful.
Very beautiful. Brought back memories. Yeah.
Sure did.
It does.
It's yeah. As a kid, of course, I always liked summer better, because as much as I loved school as a child, the summer was, you know, more freedom and all that. But and I still love summer. But I guess every season, I like that season when I'm in it, so it's a good thing I live where there's four distinct seasons, right?
Absolutely.
It helps.
Every season has its wonderful things to focus
yes.
and
yes.
a memory on. You know,
yeah.
Winter has Yule. There's always Samhain. There's the harvest. Spring.
No, and the equinoxes, and yeah, I'm fortunate enough. I live where I can actually watch, you know, in the summertime, the heights of the summer, like now, the sun is far north, like in the early morning and late at night as it will be, and then it's so funny because then in the winter it's so far south, and you know, you can just see that. And you can see it in the cities, of course. But here it seems like I'm just closer to it because there's not so much light around except the moon at night. Yeah, it's very, very nice. We are down a few people tonight. Nicole and her job, well, it's preventing her from being with us for a while. Mike, Stan, and Aaron are having health things. Believe it or not, there's half of us. And they all say hello, and they're sorry they can't be here, and send love. And we're in their hearts, and they will all be listening to this later. So I'd just like to keep them in our minds.
Well, Rob, you know what summer is, too. Summer is also the season of healing and sojourns and pilgrimages. So it's a time for healing. So I think we should keep that in mind and keep our brothers and sisters in mind who need it most.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think of healing with the sun. everything. So definitely, at a time of growth, you know, everything is just like shooting up or shooting more. I just saw that besides doing jam, which I keep saying I'm going to do, but I have no discipline when it comes to mulberries. I just go out and pick them and eat them. I need to pick them and hold on to them so I can have enough to make jam. You know, I have a problem there. But also, I just found out about mulberry tea leaves. I mean, mulberry leaf tea.
Really?
And yeah, you can buy it, but you can also just make it. I mean, just, you know, take the leaves and dry them and make tea. And it has all kinds of good properties, so I'm going to be, you know, doing that too, because I definitely have plenty of trees. I've got two big ones, and then there's others that are trying to come along. But yeah, I just have to develop the discipline to take out a little container with me, put the berries in it, keep my mouth shut, bring the berries back, put them in the fridge. You know, that's the kind of discipline I have to begin exercising. Or once again, I'm just going to eat them every morning and afternoon and not have any jam for the middle of the winter. So, you know, whatever.
Does anyone have a garden going?
Yeah.
You do? You have a garden going? What do you grow?
Well, you know, typically tomatoes and peppers, but I didn't get to my guy in time to get Roma tomatoes, which are my favorites. I love Romas. But I ended up getting some grape ones and some cherry ones, so we'll see.
Those
are good. I've got some herbs growing, but I'm also going to, I still have some herbs to plant. I'm going to toss some catnip out because that way the neighborhood cats and my own can enjoy that. So, yeah.
I would like to tell a little mulberry story, if I may.
Oh, please, mulberries. Yeah, yeah.
I have a delightful little yarn about mulberries in summer. Okay?
Yeah.
When my wife and I had our first child, he was a lovely little toe-headed boy, just a delight, full of good spirit and laughter, a little towhead. And when we lived out in the country, we lived in a house kind of on the back of a farm, okay? And we had just outside our house, we had a lovely mulberry tree that was just lush with mulberry. Okay, so I want you to picture this little toe-headed two-year-old playing in the tree, dancing around through the branches, and of course, because it was summertime in Florida, he didn't, of course, have any clothes on. And as he would sit there in the mulberries, plucking them off the tree and eating them, he also crushed a good number of mulberries with his bum, and he would walk around for weeks and weeks with a purple bum stained by the mulberries.
I hope you got pictures of that.
This little toe-headed boy, brown as a berry, brown as a button, with just a purple bum and feet and hands. He was an absolute cutest little cherub you'd ever want to see.
I had to share
that with you.
Yeah, no, I can just picture them. And I do hope you got pictures, because when he turned a teenager, you could embarrass him with them. But now he would just like them. Yeah, that's the other thing about them. They stain.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So, yes, I concerned when I'm out there. I wear old clothes. It doesn't matter if, you know, I mean, I try not to get them, you know, stained, but yeah, they do. Fingers, everything. So sure, his little bottom could just be that purple. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Now let me add one more thing I would like to add tonight as we send off those summertime energies. I have a brother, a spiritual brother and a progressive activist brother, who is right now in enforced meditation as a guest of our government.
Yes.
And he had a marvelous, marvelous day yesterday. Over 20 activists came to speak on his behalf. And let's just say due to social complications, although the judge was ready to release him, he did not get released. So I would like you to help me send him strength, send him summertime energy, so that when he closes his eyes in that enforced meditation, some of summer can be brought to him, some of summer's warmth, some of summer's brightness, cheeriness, evergreenness, and let us spend a moment thinking of him and that he will soon be free, let us hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, my friends. Thank
so
you for sending that. That.
Mm-hmm.
So moted be.
Yes.
So moted be.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah.
I've been there.
The karma we deal up for ourselves, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I told flower stories to other ladies. It kept me from being in trouble.
Oh, let me tell you one more summer story. It's a good day to tell a summer story.
Yes.
When my son was born, the young boy who I just described to you with the purple bottom and purple feet,
right.
My son Ocean was just a joy and a mystery to us, and has taught us so much and continues to teach us so much so many years later. But he was eventually joined by a sister. Now, I got to tell you, since my wife and I are both artists and we participate in the tribe that so many call hippie, our families were not entirely enthusiastic about our choice of his name, Ocean. And they were worried that when we were about to have a little girl, that we would pick, well, let's just say, a name that they would find unfamiliar, let's say, okay? So there was a great degree of social pressure on us to pick what the straight people call a normal name and what artists
right.
regard as, yeah, a little gray, a little cardboard for us, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So my wife and I wondered and wondered, who would this delightful new being be? What name would she find? And as if in a way to kind of be one more century to the straight world, my wife's grandmother joined us at the hospital so that when the little baby was born, she could stand there to try to remind us that she should have a normal name. As my wife is being wheeled into the operating room, she was having a C-section this time. Our son Ocean was born at home with midwives. But Summer, the new baby was going to be born in the hospital. So as the nurse is wheeling my wife away to the operating room, her grandmother stopped the nurse and said, wait a minute, before you take her in there, what's your name? As if she was hoping that by reminding us of a normal name, that we would be somehow prevented from giving an art name, right? So the nurse... Her face is lit up by this funny smile. And she said, well, my name is Candy Bar.
And Grandma fainted.
And her grandmother, who was a very conservative, very religious woman from the, shall we say, from the Dark Ages school of religion, looked at my wife and said, "You better not name her Candy Bar." And said, "Oh, don't worry. There's no chance that she'll be named Candy Bar." So we were then, not too long later, joined by a lovely new soul called Summer Cloud. So our second child's name is Summer Cloud. And not to leave our final youngest child out, our final daughter, her name is Meadow Promise. So we have an Ocean Blake, a Summer Cloud, and a Meadow Promise. That's our three gifts to the world.
All right. And Grandma finally got over it?
They did eventually get over it.
It's been my experience in life, Rick, that women named Summer are always the best people.
Oh, she's a delight.
I've never known a Summer who wasn't a Summer as a person.
Yeah. I would think it would be hard to be called that and be a shit, you know? wouldn't it? Yeah.
That's called casting a spell.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's another story entirely.
Oh, God.
Oh, lovely names. Names are such a funny thing, and they have so much power too.
Right.
They really do. That's why I don't know about you all, but the way I was, well, I was gonna say brought up, but brought in, whatever. No one knows my magical name except the gods and myself. And actually the people, but they promptly forgot it because that was part of the deal, who gave me my first initiation, and the people who were there. But, some people use their magical name they take it and they use it for everyday things. But I never did that. I don't know. I just think it's a very private.
Some people choose to share theirs. Other people don't. I have my initiatory magical name was basically my name. That's what I got told. So that's
okay.
The name. With my First Nations teachers years and years ago, I received the singing name. And that singing name, I rarely speak or give away, only a very few know it. And if anybody ever calls me by it, on high, if you will, I always hear it. And it's hard to pronounce, too, so it's not something you put on your business card.
It's just sort of strange, just like my elementals, you know, there again, it's only between myself and them, because their name is never to be, like, spoken around with others. So, it's fine. It works for me. And I'm sure for some people, you know, telling their names works for them, but it's interesting. Now, this time, once again, except for tonight, but like on the actual day of solstice, I celebrated alone. And, you know, I can remember doing big rituals with, also sometimes we would have the quote-unquote maypole also for summer solstice, because that is almost a summer solstice pole. But it's another time to dance around with the ribbons and everything. And that was always fun. I don't know, what kind of celebrations do you guys remember or do you do now for summer solstice?
Saffron?
Well, it depends on the scale that I'm doing it and with whom. If I were doing a larger scale ritual, you would, of course, want to have the group. I would usually try to align the circle, and I would try to do it sometime when you can see the sun either starting to rise or starting to set. I would focus on bringing energy into existence. I would focus on, we would usually act out the battle between the Holly King and the Oak King.
Mm-hmm.
And we would appoint someone to serve in each of those capacities, and would have a very nice mock battle, which we also then repeat at Yule. We would all go around and share those things that we're hoping that during this time of increased light and activity and energy that we can accomplish in the coming period. And then we would raise energy through some dance and drumming and things like that to help facilitate those goals. When I do it more privately, as I did this year, I would tend to focus more on my own personal objectives and goals and be a little bit more introspective, contemplative, and meditative. This year I was at a work conference that I was actually running, so I was in charge of the conference, all the planning and activities, and not entirely accidentally, I planned the conference for summer solstice. My beautiful town of Lake George in the Adirondack Mountains here in New York, so that I was located in a beautiful location at the solstice, at the top of a hill overlooking a beautiful mountain lake and village, in a very historic place with the mountains in the distance, and the lake before me, and the beautiful sun, and the weather was spectacular. And I did several private rituals, one at dawn, one at dusk, and then I actually did one later at night, primarily because I could be more alone for some of the more introspective components of it. And it was just a magnificent, magnificent, picturesque, picture-perfect place to do a ritual. And it was a very moving, powerful, and wonderful spiritual ritual. I only wished that I was there with a more metaphysically inclined crowd than a work crowd, because it would have been a wonderful place to do a ritual involving many people as well. But it was a magnificent opportunity to do that, and I think it's really important to focus on the seasonal components of where we're at. Right now is the time when the days are longest, when the sun is at its most powerful, when our energy should be at their peak. And it's a time to get out into nature. It's a time to break out of the daily grind, our daily routines, and being inside all the time. Really go out and take stock and see what's around you. I took my son out for a was utterly baffling and mystifying to him because he's a modern millennial whose face is never very far from his phone or some other device. And, you know, to see the look of wonder in his eyes as I'm pointing out all the various butterflies on sun-dappled leaves and spider webs glowing in the sunlight and the bushes, wildlife, when you're quiet, you can see and hear birds and all sorts of things, and he was truly mystified, as if it was an alien coming to a strange and wonderful place. And that's kind of a sad state of affairs, I think, that there's so little connectivity with nature anymore. And so I think it's very, very important, and it's one of the things I like the best about pagan and Wiccan type traditions, is that they still focus on those seasonal cycles, which in the modern world, we really utterly lose touch of. To your average person, you know, the first day of summer is really not that big of a deal, or any more than any of the others. And
no,
yet
they don't
it
even
is
know
a very
unless
big deal.
They hear it on TV or something.
They didn't know. In the case of my conference, I wished everyone a happy summer solstice and seeing if anyone would perk up. Nobody did, unfortunately. But most people were not even really aware that it was the solstice. So I think it's very important that we not only engage in these activities ourselves, but that we share them where possible to try to get more people out and embracing the natural world around us.
Oh, I agree.
Welcome back. That's a wonderful way to walk with the world.
Is that a train or something?
No.
I don't know what that is. It's not on fire.
No, it's not here.
I hear what sounds like a bird chirping.
Oh, there, it stopped.
Chirping, that's my little friend. Sorry about the bird. He's my little friend.
Oh, it's okay.
It's
not an unhappy sound.
I've developed a relationship with him, and he comes and we speak. If I weren't on the phone right now, I would be talking to him, and I cheap, and he cheaps back, and I've gotten him to the point where he'll land on my little balcony post no more than 2 or 3 feet from me, and he's the cutest little catbird you'd ever want to see. He's adorable.
Oh, wow.
But I'm sorry if he's being... Sorry.
Oh, no, it wasn't him. It was that other sound that it sounded like...
I don't know what that was.
No, that was...
It sounded like the winter wind to me trying to, you know, harsh our buzz, and I don't think so. We're in summer
here
now.
There you go. Yeah, with us talking about solstice, here comes the winter wind. Okay. Jealousy is ugly.
I actually have a little squirrel that I've gotten to befriend that hangs out in my front yard all the time. You're paying attention to me, but I can't get him to come to me yet. In Boston, they used to, but here... They're a little stuck up.
A little skittish.
Yeah, a little stuck up.
Well, give them some food. That's how you get them.
I do. I put old bread in the palm fronds that have fallen off. I put it in there that they crawl up on, and they find it. So do the birds.
Yep, they sure do. They'll find it anywhere.
It's nice that, yeah, that you can have that kind of peace and quiet. I could, too, if I didn't have to worry about little Miss Didi, because she just, you know, anything that she thinks she could play with, well, she scares them away, so.
No. Well, Elroy's pretty much like that. He's usually out there with me, but the squirrel thinks Elroy is funny. That's my. He stares at Elroy and then comes close just to taunt Elroy.
The squirrels sometimes tease Didi, so yeah, they know what they can get by with.
They're pretty smart.
Yes,
they are. Animals are smart.
Oh, animals are smart.
Yeah.
She's got a lot going on, and they can read us too. And of course, the ones that live with us, they can read us real well.
Real often.
Not that any of them are spoiled or anything, but, you know.
No.
Couldn't have that. No, we couldn't. But, so now, does anybody have any big plans for the summer, like vacations and things, or new ventures?
I'm finishing 2 collections, and one is the fairy collection, so I'm talking a lot with fairies right now, and also the Orisha. So I'm doing a lot of journey work and study and speaking with the gods, if you will. So that's my job, but sometimes I don't do it for long periods of time. This summer I am.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
How about you, Rick?
Well, I'm trying to finalize my second book of short stories.
All right.
I'm real close to it. And
great.
I just through, you know, interesting happenstance, I came across a whole new story that's very complicated. It has three threads, and I have to include that in the collection. It is based on some anecdotes I've just been told by a new friend. But I've got 40 stories together for this collection. That's up 10 stories from my first book of collection, my first collection of short stories. And then I'll be looking for publishing opportunities. It's a collection of stories that is both spiritual as well as, I think of them as moral tales, you know, sort of a contemporary Canterbury Tales, where although on one level it's just a story, I'd like to think that it hints at other, even spiritual lessons. So anybody who wants a copy of the first collection, I can send you an ebook, and I'd be happy to share that with you. It's called Two Small Windows in a Pair of Mirror Doors. These are also stories from that same kind of cloth. Although on one hand they're just stories, they also, I think, have some spiritual heft to them and some karmic insights, I like to believe, and have been told so by other friends who have some depth. So I know you all would enjoy them if you're interested.
Yeah, they're great spiritual.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Please send them out. Please send us some.
Well, let me give you my email address, and this way you send me an email, and I will send you the files back, okay? My
okay.
email is Rick. R-I-C-K at Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, Avery Voice, as in every voice has something to teach us, AveryVoice.com. So Rick at AveryVoice.com, send me an email and I'll send you a copy of the book.
Cool. Okay.
Fantastic.
I'm honored to share it with my friends of the circle.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Gifted tonight too. We're gifted. That's
you
wonderful.
Are indeed,
we are.
My dear. You are indeed.
Well, Davron, I was told by a little bird that you are going to Disney World.
All those little birds, see, you make friends with them and they go telling all your secrets. I'm telling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we may head down to Florida. I don't know if we're going to do Disney World or what we're going to do, but one of the main things we want to do is go down and also spend some time further inland in the Everglades area. So
cool.
We're going to bop around a little bit and hopefully have some excellent summertime adventures, me and my son. It should be a wonderful trip. And hopefully visit some old friends while I'm down that way.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can visit some new friends from the circle.
You would never know.
Rick and I are right down here, adjacent to the
Oh, are you now?
Yeah,
we're in Stewart.
Well, perhaps I'll have to get together with you while I'm down there. I'll actually be down that way a couple times. A few for pleasure and... I've got a couple of work conferences where I'll be down that way as well that I might extend into mini trips. So hopefully while I'm down that way, I'll have the opportunity to get together with you guys live and in person. That would be a wonderful opportunity.
That would be great. That would be wonderful.
I would be yeah.
That would be fun.
If only we could get Ruth Ann to join us. What a party that would be.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll just have to, like, get together and Skype me or something, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's been done before.
What, Gwen?
It's been done before. I've Skyped people in.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Everybody shares the wine.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ooh, mulberry. Now I want mulberry wine. Yum.
Yeah, see? That's the other thing. I mean, mulberries, they're turning out to be almost as, whatever, as dandelions. Like, you know, I mean, the jam,
yeah.
The wine, the leaf tea, you know. And I found out, my neighbor found out for me, what this one tree behind it has huge leaves. And, I mean, I've never, you know, like, huge. And then in the spring, this is the second spring that it's bloomed, it has these most beautiful white blossoms. And so he took pictures, and he runs a large gardening group on Facebook. And he told me, he said, it's a catalpa tree. And I was going, really? Some neighbors had a catalpa when I was a kid. And so I looked it up, and it is. And see, it's not old enough yet to have those long skinny beans. At least it didn't have them last year, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. It has to be a certain age to have those, but at least now I know what it is. But I love summer, and I was in Florida. I lived there one time during the summer. The other times were, well, I guess two times during the summer. One time was more during the winter, though. But even though it doesn't change the seasons like it does here in Illinois and New York, there's still seasonal changes. They're just a little more subtle.
That's true.
So you guys are having that, too, yeah. But I would love to be there with you.
They have different flowers. They have different.
Yeah.
Lots
That's,
of spring out and spring back in too. And we do have. I've noticed that. I've been told I'm crazy, but there's a certain kind of lizard and chameleon that comes out in the summer, and then goes away in the winter, or goes in the winter, and another kind comes back. Maybe they're changing colors on me or something. But all my life, I've thought. You know, these guys are either playing tricks with me.
You wouldn't think that they would like hibernate for, but who knows? Maybe they do.
I love all the little Florida lizards, the anoles and iguanas, and all the cool little things.
Yeah. Just not the big lizards like the crocodiles or alligators. I mean, they're fine, but you just don't really want them in your backyard. I think I wouldn't want them in my backyard.
I love alligators. I do like alligators, I will admit. That's one of the reasons we went to the Everglades the last time we were down there. We went on a little professional alligator tour, and
ooh,
we got to see them in their natural
environment.
Oh,
I've never been in the Glades. I would love that. Yeah.
It was beautiful. And this time we're going to look for pythons, too, because unfortunately they're overtaking the Everglades. It's terrible. They've eaten all the nutrias and other things that live down there.
There's a lot of pythons showing up.
Yeah. It's, the ball python was, well, one of my favorite snakes because, you know, he was wonderful. But he balls don't get as long as the others do. So, and the ones down there have been, well, I guess they started out, somebody had some pets and they just let them out and then they just kept multiplying. Because when they have babies,
I think
they have lots of babies.
Most of it. During Hurricane Andrew, I think it was, a huge reptile facility was badly damaged, and a lot of reptiles escaped.
So I think
it's more than just pets. Hundreds of them got out, and they spread like wildfire.
Okay. Wow.
People were moving very slowly during Hurricane Andrew, too, because the pressure, the PSI on that storm was just incredible.
Yeah.
Because I had to lay on the ground. I had to lay on the ground. My sinus was not having a good night.
We're going to have to close because I don't know how much time we have, but time is going. So we need going quickly. We need to say our goodbyes.
Close circle.
Oh, great. Clockwork of being. Back and back through the ancient lineage, back to our pre-planetary, pre-incarnation time. Back before time itself, back before birth and 10,000 dancing souls who have led us down this path and this path that extends to infinity. Children from the great grandmother's garters, children from the great grandpa's gambling gallops, the ancestors that have been, the ancestors to come, thank you one and all for joining us, and thank you now and thank you in the future to come. Thank you, ancestors, for joining us. So mote it be.
Thank you, ancestors.
So mote it be. Oh, great Father of the sky, Father of the sun, we thank you for joining us this night and empowering this rite. Thank you for lending us strength and the energy that we needed to carry on as we enter this time of beauty and bliss that is the summer. Stay with us and help us manifest change and growth within our lives. Hail and farewell.
Hail
and farewell.
Great Mother Goddess, stay with us in heart and mind. Keep us kind, keep us peaceful. Keep us working for the light and justice and justice and justice. Thank you for being with us tonight. Remember us as we remember you. So mote it be. Good night, Goddess.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
As we say goodbye to Earth and its presence in our ritual, I ask that we continue to experience the grounding the foundation has given us. Earth, we thank you. Hail and farewell.
Hail. And farewell.
And farewell. O powers of the West, element of water, thank you for joining us this night and empowering our ritual. Stay with us and empower, nourish, cool, and refresh us through the hot times ahead. Lend us your strength of change and flexibility that we may go forth and do magnificent things in the world. Hail and farewell.
Hail.
Farewell.
Farewell.
Raphael and Jonathan.
Oh, thou dancing.
Rick.
Okay. Oh, thou dancing delight, fling your fire freely, light our way, shine in our eyes, on our lips and our thighs. Promethean gift, oh, thou dancing, shifting, lifting light. Free the molecules, delight upon the altar of our souls, energy spinning, winning our delight, lighten the world, our soul's fire enlightens our lives. Thank you, and so mote it be.
So mote it be.
Yeah.
Raphael, archangel, mentor, holder of the standard of clarity, communication, intelligence, and goodness. Stay with us. Keep us clear. Keep us focused. Keep us kind. Slip. Elements. All the standards of air and its elements. Thank you for being with us, and hail and farewell.
Hail and hail and farewell.
As we open the circle, remember, we can work in a clear space, if only from time to time.
Good night, everyone. We're going to meet here, so good night, everyone.
Good night.
The circle is open.
Many blessings.
Many travel blessings.
And many blessings.
And blessings also.
Hail and farewell.
Happy midsummer.
Hail and farewell.
Happy midsummer, everyone.
Happy midsummer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.